Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the After Show podcast. This is a very special episode because we're bringing in Cousin Oliver. No, I'm kidding.
he was not available.
Yeah. So we got John McGinley instead. No, Ted McGinley. We got Ted McGinley instead, but no. So what's actually happening is that we're recording this live in person. And I say live in person, but what I really mean is we are both in the same room together.
This almost
this at MaxStock.
Literally almost never happens that we are, you know, we are mutually joined by our podcasting partners in crime, actually in the same physical room. Almost never happens. Happens like once every 5 years or so.
I think.
Yeah. Give or take.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever recorded the after show in person together.
I don't think we've been doing the after show long enough to have recorded it in person together.
But exactly.
We're not like podcasting cicadas. You know, it's not a 17-year cycle, but it's a while. So, yes. So, where are we? We're here at MaxStock Expo in McHenry, Illinois.
Yes. Like an hour out of Chicago.
Yeah. Well, an hour. An hour as the crow flies. 2 hours as the car creeps along I-90. But
yeah. It did take a while to get here yesterday, but you know, yeah. I didn't mind because when traffic's really slow, you can play Wizards Unite like a bunch in the car, and it's awesome.
And you weren't driving.
And I absolutely was not driving. I don't even know if the word is driving for how you got here.
I was piloting, I think is the word we're looking for. I treated myself. I think we talked about this on the show last time, that I was mulling whether or not to treat myself to a special car rental.
Yes.
And I did. So Turo, T-U-R-O, is the app. And this is effectively, it's VRBO, but instead of vacation apartments, it's cars. So it's rental by owner.
Somebody asked me earlier and I said, it's Airbnb, but cars.
And yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
It's VRBO, but cars and or Airbnb, but cars. And it's people who have cars that they want to rent, not like car sharing, make available for a couple hours during the day, but rent for 3 days, 2 days, 3 days, whatever.
For some set period of more than one day at a time.
Extended period of time, yeah. They make it available, and I'm going to adjust and put this on top of a thing as we're talking. I'm going to get this a little closer to the people that are talking. So they make the cars available through the app, and in this case, it's a gentleman who has a Tesla Model 3 in Chicago and was available for rent. And I said, you know what? I'm
doing it.
I'm treating myself. I'm going to treat myself. So I did, and it's fascinating. It's a very weird, futuristic, one of those moments where you're like, oh yes, this is the future we were promised.
Yeah.
This is the future that electric car drivers want. So.
And having been hardwired into, you know, mere mortal driving technology.
Yeah.
This is, I'm like you when we were talking about it on the way here, that it's very odd to have it steer for you. It's very odd for it to want to like make the turn for you.
And yeah.
All those kinds of things are all very, very odd. And like, kind of what it reminded me of is when the Apple store started doing like, you can Apple Pay for that phone case or whatever. And
yeah, just leave. Walk out. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
It changes the experience of retail. It changes the definition of what a retail transaction
right.
is.
But also, like, you know, because you are hard, because, you know, lots of people anyway are like hardwired into like not stealing.
Yeah.
This feels like stealing.
Yeah.
Because it's not like self-check. It's not like you go stand at the register and scan it yourself and leave.
Walk out with it without talking to another human being.
Yeah, because there's no register, like, which was also weird, you know, when Apple started doing that in the first place. Like, you had to find somebody in a t-shirt and then they would do the thing for you and you would buy it. And then, you know, for there to be zero interaction with, you know, the cash register or an employee or anything and just walk out with that watch band or that phone case or whatever, like, feels really weird. And this is the same sort of thing. Like, I like driving, you know, so I'm nowhere near as excited about autopilot as maybe like other people are.
As I am. I mean, I like driving too, but yes, the experience of, you know, just like going to the cash register and paying for something is, we think of as fundamentally part of what we do
yes.
at retail. Holding onto the steering wheel and putting your foot on the gas pedal or maybe cruise control, but
yeah.
like deciding where the car is going to go is a fundamental part of the experience of driving a car.
Right.
And in this case, you take some of that away. Now, I've turned on the autopilot, and as we discussed before the show, I have yet to feel comfortable letting the car actually turn for me.
Yes.
We'll see. We will see. We might try that at some point this trip. I don't know. But it's fascinating, and it's a really, really weird experience. It's actually, you know, talking about retail versions of this experience, the Amazon Go stores in San Francisco, which I think they're sunsetting those now. But basically, like, you walk around with your shopping, with your little cart or with your basket, and you take stuff off the shelf, and when you leave, your Amazon Prime account is just charged.
Like, you check in at the store,
but you check in, but you don't check out. It's the Hotel California of retail.
Of retail, yes. And there's one in Seattle. I've been to that one. And also, again, a very trippy experience. Like, I still don't – it's still weird to me at Apple stores just because, like, I'm wired for that not to work, you know, not be right. You know, this is not how retail works.
Because we are the olds. Like, we are the previous generation. I mean
– I totally get it. I'm not mad about it, but I'm like, this just doesn't feel like this is how it should work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not mad about any of it or anything, but, yeah, it's definitely not
Luddites. We're just olds. I mean, but we're also of a generation that actually remembers a time before UPC codes were common at supermarket checkout.
Right.
So that became – that was a transition, too. But at least that was still keeping it in the – the process side was all with the store, with the clerk.
Right. It was just making that ringing up, the actual act of ringing something up, much more automated. And then also, like, changing one price, you know, in a computer so that when you scanned it yesterday, boop, you know, it was $1. And then today, boop, it's $1.05. But you didn't have to go spend all that time in the aisle with the new stickers. Yeah.
So one thing we should probably mention, since we are physically in a room here in McHenry County College, but we're using an iPad microphone. We've got some air conditioning noise. So on behalf of the After Show podcasters, we apologize to your ears for the audio quality this week. We'll do what we can to clean it up. But it's such a thrill to be here at MacStoc and to have to just sort of dive back into the tribe a little bit. We've already run into Jim Rhea from ProView, who was the subject of a Macworld interview, video interview in 2010.
Yeah.
Taking us back a ways. Unfortunately, it seems like those videos are lost to time, but the post still exists. And of course, a whole bunch of podcasters are here. We have Dave and John from Mac Geekab and Mac Observer. Yeah. We've got the My Mac podcast. We've got Mozilla Cast. We've got
Mac Power users their 500th live here.
They're doing that tonight.
Awesome.
So it's really amazing to see the voices come to life a little bit.
Yeah, it's, you know, it reminds me of something that you said at Macworld 2010, which always stuck with me, which was, it's like watching the internet go by. Because that's how it feels, especially, you know, especially for a lot of people who are here who are, like, podcast listeners and not necessarily podcast creators.
Right.
Because I'm already at 4 people who came up and said, "Hi, you must be Kelly. I heard you giggle." I know it's you.
I can tell it's you. And and those are folks who are hearing you on Daily Observations and recognize you, your distinctive chortle, your unmistakable giggle.
Yes, inimitable lols. yeah, but, like, that's been, like, that's kind of fun. And, like, somebody earlier was asking me when the Westworld podcast, you know, are you going to keep doing the Westworld podcast when there's more Westworld?
Yep.
And then the person behind him in line for lunch said, "Well, you do a podcast about Westworld?"
Yeah.
And so, why, yes. You know, speaking of a dark and mysterious future.
Yes.
You know, like, where Tesla's headed. Yeah.
Where cars drive themselves and robots run the amusement parks.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, so, like, for me, that part is always nice. Because it also lets me know that people are listening.
Mm.
You know, my favorite review is basically, like, "I listen to your show."
Mm.
Because at least I know that, you know, hey, there's one.
Yeah. The audience is listening. We are the world's smallest THX bumper. The audience
Turn
is listening.
It up.
they're there somewhere. They're out there.
Yeah. But my other favorite is I have gotten this from 2 people. Not here, but I've got this from 2 people in general. And it was, I yell at you in the car regularly. You know, and I love that because that means, like, that person's super engaged and they're thinking about the same kind of stuff that we talk that we're talking about in daily observations, and they have a strong feeling about it too, and they, you know, and so like sometimes they will, you know, I think I got one in email and one like in person from somebody that was like, I was just, you know, I was yelling at the car, so I want, you know, I was yelling at you in the car, and I wanted to tell you about, you know, like I think that you're wrong about this, or I disagree with your stance on you know what that thing is that Apple's doing or whatever. And it was really fun. Now, I was here last year, so for me, this isn't as dramatic a return. To Apple Nerdery as it is for you.
It's true. The last time I was here was 2016, judging by the t-shirt that I brought along with me and wore last night. And really have not seen most of the folks here, with the possible exception of John Brown, because he and I live in the same half of the country, and he's in Connecticut, and I'm
in a vicinity.
In a vicinity, so we have the opportunity to run into one another every now and then. But folks like you, of course, Brett Terpstra, and others who, if it were not for the Mac Stock opportunity, I would not see them. So that's exciting for me, and it's also it's also really nice to see that in those 3 years that a lot of the same people have come back. And that a lot
there's
of
there's a fair number of like the 5 year pins, because this is the fifth.
Yeah, this is the fifth.
So
year.
Yeah, Mike had pins just for people that basically have been to all of them. So
yeah,
that was really it was really, but it was also like really nice to see that there are a lot of people wearing them. And
yeah,
and, yeah.
And so far, content, you know, quick content overview from the first day. So we've had several presenters already give the 20-minute speed. Dance remix versions of their presentations. We've had Chuck Joyner going over PowerPoint sins, presentation sins, which actually I think caused physical pain to a number of people in the audience.
Yes,
it was really.
I was one.
Yeah, it was making you grit your teeth and clench. It was undoing all the good work that Elle did this morning in the body
yes.
awareness critiques.
Yes, we should have her switch with Chuck for the deep dives. Is like, yeah, like after her should have after Chuck, we should have had a refresher.
We should
for
have
everybody.
Had some yoga, yeah,
like 10 minutes of like, you know, and like listen to ocean waves and stretch your shoulders away from your ears
and
because
not,
they've been creeping up for the last 20 minutes.
And not think about fully justified blocks of text in PowerPoint. So yes, Elle Newman, who is Brett Terpstra's partner and also from Winona, Minnesota. And as a yoga instructor, and came in and did some great morning body awareness and stretching
yeah.
work.
That and was it was it, the thing I really loved about it was that it she also did a great job of like meeting you where you are.
Yeah.
So like we had someone who was in here in a wheelchair, and she would like show him like, so instead of doing, you know, this thing where everybody stands up and is like, you know, touching their toes or whatever, here's how you, you know, let me modify that for you.
Here's
so
the
that
version
you get,
of it that's,
so you
that's
get a benefit
accessible.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and people like she, you know, checked in with everybody kind of first, like, do you have some pain? Do you have a thing that's
yep.
like not working for you? Because I don't, you know, this shouldn't hurt. And like, you know, having that approach like that, that was really nice for me. I don't have any pain or any sort of like limited, you know, motion or anything, but it was really nice to feel like I know that she's doing this for everybody. So
right.
that means I can probably hack it,
yeah,
you know,
it's participatory in the best sense that
yeah.
it's inclusive. And although you do in that workshop, it was at 8 o'clock. So it was, people were trailing in a little bit. The fact that there was a paper waiver that had to be signed on your way in, I think everybody sort of went, whoa, this, okay.
Yeah.
Potential injury. Unforeseen injury.
Unknown risk.
Unknown risk.
That was the best part, was unknown risk.
There's unknown risk here. But so that we had that. We had Allison Sheridan from NozoaCast talking about the sort of the amazing and serendipitous journeys that she's been on in since she started podcasting in 2005, 2006.
2005, yeah.
Which is astonishing. I mean, just to go back that far, but the different people she's met, the different things she's gotten to do, and it was a wonderful sort of choose your own adventure presentation where the audience got to vote, although our votes were ignored, on on which path she was going to take.
We all voted, and the Electoral College chose someone different. That felt really familiar.
The popular vote did not
did not
reflect the outcome. We had Rosemary talking about Siri and Siri shortcuts, which was fascinating.
And I am positively fainting with anticipation of her presentation this afternoon.
Yes, so they're doing deep dives for all these morning 20-minute versions. We have deep.
Yeah. We get like an overview, and then
we get the chunky.
Yeah, which I'm excited about, and like the Siri one is one I really want to dig into. And what was interesting was this morning over breakfast, people were talking about Siri.
Yeah.
And how like she's the worst personal assistant. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of wanted to disagree a little bit because for me, she's the first personal assistant because before Siri, like lots of them couldn't, I'm like, I can't say Siri, I can't say it, I can't say it. I'm like, I don't want to trigger everybody. S-Lady. Part of why I will champion it and why I always cut her slack and have patience with her mistakes mm-hmm. is because none of them before could even really hear me. Or if they heard me, they got it
very wrong.
Breathtakingly wrong. spectacular fail.
Way off.
You know, and like even at the beginning, like at least she could always hear me. And like other people had the same sort of, you know, I would say play this music and she couldn't do it. Or, you know, I would ask her the temperature and she would look something up on the web about weather or something.
It was the voice version of Lunch with Blop.
but it was early days for everybody. Like she was sort of failing the same for me as everybody else. And so it was finally something I could actually use, you know, when it did work. And like dictation has gotten better. Her smarts have gotten better.
Yeah. Competition. I mean, she's got.
Right. But also I can carry her around on my arm reply to this text message and whatever. And all of those pieces are really great too. So, you know, people were, and I'm like, I didn't have one.
Yeah.
Before her, because that was the first time that there was one that could even actually hear me.
Yeah, that there was something that was tuned to your timbre.
I don't even have a high voice. No. Like, I mean, it's capable. Yes, I mean, yes. It is a thing that we know.
The range is there, but
yeah, but like generally speaking, you know, literally yes. generally speaking. Like I have a lower voice, and so like so that's part of why I was always frustrated that this other stuff couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess there's a difference between a low woman's voice and, you know, and a man's voice. Apparently, like, that was just a bridge too far.
Possibly.
So, it was kind of it.
And we have the inaudible guest of Mike Potter, the the impresario.
He's just going to wave at the podcast. That makes
you're welcome
great
to
podcasting.
Join us for 2 seconds. I know you're on your way back in, but we're recording an episode of The After Show.
Oh!
This minute.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
We don't have any gear.
It's still during the show.
It is during the show. This is live at MacSoc. Yeah. Just quickly, since I know you're running into for the next session, 5 years of MacSoc, how are you feeling so far about
that? Oh my gosh, I'm so thrilled. This is the best MacSoc yet. Everyone has been amazing, but this is the absolute best one yet.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Most people, awesome crowd. Amazing community.
Great weather. People eating lunch
Great
outside.
Great weather. Eating lunch outside. You can't ask for anymore.
Fantastic.
Anyone remember the first MacSoc?
I was here for the second, I think.
Yeah. Thunderstorms, lightning, Barry's backyard.
I remember hearing. Yeah.
We've done better this
people
year.
Running for shelter. We're aiming to avoid that.
Yeah. We just have an amazing lineup of speakers. We've got... I can't believe where people are coming from.
Vienna,
we've got
Vienna, Austria.
Yeah.
We've got Ukraine. We've got UK. We've got Canada. We've got Australia. We had someone from Japan. Unfortunately, she needed to cancel. But
Martin's from Norwegia?
Netherlands.
Norwegia, not a country. Not actually.
Norwegia.
I know. It's not a country. No. Scandinavia, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holland.
Yeah.
Holland, that's
the low countries, yes.
Yes.
We have New York, we have Portland, Oregon, we have several Portland, Oregons, actually, at least a couple.
Yeah.
All over the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Mexico. I mean, it blows me away. It's very humbling, and I'm honored to have these people here in my presence, because it's such an amazing group.
Well, we're thrilled to be here, and I'm looking forward to coming back next year and trying to schedule my time. It was the hardest part about not being here the past 2 years was just that I was also doing things that were fun and awesome and enjoyable, but I regretted.
But they weren't this thing.
They weren't the exact thing that I was wanted to be doing.
So. Yes.
Can't be as good as this thing.
It's really, so far, it's not. So, All right. We thank you, Mike, for being a special guest.
Oh, thank you
on the podcast.
The special unexpected guest.
This yes. is well, yes. if when you have a studio that is not secured in any
That's
way
the or staff room.
Doesn't have a light outside saying yeah. recording.
Exactly.
What can you expect? So
and also the yoga room.
It is the yoga room.
Yes.
That's new this year too.
We were talking about that. We were suggesting that Elle might, because Chuck's presentation about presentation sins caused so much stress for everybody in the room,
that
we thought
she
should have come back.
I realized during that people were getting hungry.
I don't know that that's what it was. I think they were getting angry.
They were getting angry.
We were just mad. Yeah.
And the anger was being fed by hunger, I think.
I think there may have been a bit of anger. Yes.
Yeah, we've had a wonderful lunch.
Yeah.
People are now back in enjoying the MyMac game show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All is right with the world again.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Awesome. Well, we'll see you inside.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks so much.
Thanks
for having me.
Special guest, Mike Potter, the the leader of the Macstock, the merry band of Macstock.
Yes.
He's giving us a sharp salute. Very nice.
This is very sharp.
But the assistant session, what was so cool about that Siri session was there were some tips in that I had never heard before. One of them being type to Siri.
Yes.
Which was new to me. It's in the accessibility settings, not mm-hmm. in the Siri settings, but it's in general accessibility. And it is, if you want to be able to use Siri in an environment where you cannot talk to her.
Right.
Or if for whatever reason you can't talk.
Right.
And
feel weird about it. I think the example she gave was like you are at work and walking around talking to your phone or your watch or whatever is kind of odd.
It's considered a little odd.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic capability, but it reminded me how much I wish there were a similar option, an easy option, for the A lady.
Yes.
Who I have an Echo.
Echo Base.
Echo Mini
yes.
in my bedroom. And I would love to be able to talk to her and say, you know, what's the weather? Mm-hmm. Snooze my alarm, whatever. But I have Mrs. Mike in the same room.
Right there.
Soundly asleep. And if I start talking randomly, that's not going to go
right.
well. So there is the Amazon A-Lady app that you can use to do some of those, that interaction, but there's no real type of command to it. And
that was that's amazing.
Worth the price of admission to know that on my iPad, I can type to Siri.
Yeah.
And that will change the way I interact with my iPad. That plus shortcuts and plus the other stuff she was talking about.
Well, and also, so I do know that if you whisper to the A-Lady that she will talk back to you quietly. So you don't have to go snooze the alarm, you know, and she'll go, okay, like that's not what's happening. So
whisper, by the way, whispering to the A-Lady is the name of my Fleetwood Mac Rumors cover up. I'm not even sure who the A-Lady is in that band, but
nerding up all the songs on the Rumors album in my head.
You can go your own way.
A-Lady,
you can go your own way. Okay, I've got a new way for you to get to work.
See, now all I can think of is, hi, Ross. I don't know if he even listens, but he posted something the other day that was message in a bot.
Yes, Ross Rubin.
And he posted it. He took a picture of it and put it on Instagram. It was like satellite radio or whatever. And it said, the police, message in a bot.
Yes.
And he was like, the police predicted Twitter. And then you wrote a million billion tweets washed up on the shore or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't just let that sit there.
No.
So I went and wrote like the first verse. Of
message in
the
a bot.
Nerdy version of message in a bot. Oh, and it was and I couldn't resist it. Then Ross was like, "Here's the second verse," and I'm like, "I'm looking it up on the ukulele now."
It should be not only is Ross a sometime member of the New York rock and roll choir, but he also has won prizes for his parody songwriting, including, I believe, a prize from the Museum of Math in New York for writing a math based parody song. So you don't bring.
So
your,
I had no idea.
Bring
that
your
that's
A
who
game.
I was up against.
Yes,
yeah.
You've got to bring your A game.
Oh yeah. Well, I feel like I did because he said it was great. So I feel like I sort of won at.
I think you did. I think you. I think you hit your stride. Remind me as we're closing out that I do have a recommendation that is, and if you say Fleetwood Mac, it'll remind me what I want to talk about. But anyway, but the other programs this morning we had Chuck presentations, we had Rosemary talking about shortcuts, we had Kirshen Saya talking about sketch noting, which a topic near and dear to my heart. Dave was talking about the Notes app.
Yeah, Dave Ginsberg talks about using notes and using like basically note taking on iOS.
Yeah.
Primarily. Because he talked about a lot about OneNote and about the Apple Notes app.
Yeah.
And because those sync across platforms and things and being able to do that effectively for stuff that you want to use. And that was pretty cool.
And it, because the whole theme of Mac Stock 5 is about creativity and creation, today is tools and techniques. And tomorrow we have some pretty heavy hitters. We have David Sparks talking about productivity. We have Brett Terpstra about writing your writing environment. We have a writing tool session. Mike's going to do that. And then Wally Chirinsky is doing video and the Mac Stock Film Festival, where people have submitted videos they built on their iOS or Mac devices. So it's two days that are jam-packed that don't feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
Lots of breaks. There's lots of room for the hallway track and socializing.
Yeah.
So far, just life. I mean, again, we're recording this at approximately 1 p.m. On the first day, on Saturday, at Mac Stock. So it's not like something weird could still happen. But
it's gonna. Because we haven't hit Saturday night in the Mac Mingle yet. So.
Actually, I think the weird thing that's already happened is Allison asking you to come on stage and adjust her pants.
Probably, but that is like when she like. Okay, so first things first.
Explain to our listeners.
I thought she was kidding. Let's start there. Okay. So Allison had to wear two microphones. Mm-hmm. And I say wear, like, they were like, you know, lav mics.
But she had the packs. But
the battery pack,
yep.
You know, that had to clip on the back of her pants, but there were two of them. And so, before everything started this morning, she goes, "Hey, Kelly, will you be my assistant and, like, walk behind me and hold up my pants? Because I swear these mic packs are going to just pull everything down." And I was like, okay. And jokingly... sort of jokingly, I said, "I'm not even sure that's the weirdest thing you've ever asked me, Allison." And she's like,
"Where would it rank in the top 10?
It may not rank in the top 10.
Oh,
it may
gosh.
Not be a single digit. Yeah, remember earlier when she said, like, "I'm not going to tell you those stories"?
Yeah.
Those stories will be the top 10.
Okay, fair enough.
So
that'll be the extended edition. We'll record that later on and not release it.
You have no idea.
We will send it to subscribers on demand.
Let me tell you, you have no idea. And like, even if you think you know, you don't know. So I was like, "Allison, that's not even the weirdest thing you've ever asked me. So of course I will." And I was kidding. But then, like, she gets about 2/3 of the way through her presentation and she looks at me and she goes, "Kelly, come on up." I'm like, "Okay." And she's like, "Yeah, you're going to have to pull me." I'm like, "Well, first of all, turn around."
Yeah, stand behind the podium. Yeah, literally.
The audience doesn't need to see me do this.
Allison is standing at the top of the steps. You know,
with her back to the audience.
With her back to the audience, fully visible to about half the auditorium, and asking Kelly to, like, grab him by the belt loops and, you know, wedgie it up. And Kelly thoughtfully, for Allison's dignity and everybody's, you know, comfort, just pivoted her around.
Yes, first of all, turn around.
Secondly, get undercover. Like, get behind the podium.
Yeah, first of all, face the crowd. Second of all, do that from behind the podium. Third of all, breathe in. Okay.
Because if the people in the room can't see your expression as Kelly is doing this, what is the point? Why are we even here?
And then I'm like, okay, this is what's happening, and Mac Stock is that way. And
yes,
that's
it's very professionally run, and it's very well coordinated and very well organized. But it does have a lovely, you know, a lovely succon of a DIY aesthetic.
But also, like, the personality. Like, it's really not out of character for that to be a thing that Allison does. It's really not out of character for me to be the person who helped her out. Hi, Chuck.
Chuck,
come on over.
Come on, be on our podcast.
Come be on our podcast.
Chuck Joyner of Mac Voices has walked into the room.
Hi, Chuck.
And I'm interrupting. I'm sorry, guys.
That's
you absolutely
right.
are. We You're... are in here with no light or other indication, and we already reeled Mike Potter in to come talk to us. So, yeah.
So,
hi.
Chuck, first of all, great presentation about presentations today.
Thank you.
And we were just discussing the fact that it was making some people in the audience, and I'll get you a chair, making some people uncomfortable. Did you notice that they were getting twitchy?
No, I did not. Why were they getting twitchy? What was it?
I think it was just anger and frustration.
Yeah. Well, I was feeling that reviewing those presentations myself. So.
Well, we also thought it might have been good to have Elle do a quick session after yours, like, you know, leading some yoga, like everybody breathe and pull your shoulders away from your ears.
That's not a bad idea. I could, I could probably use that.
That might be a, maybe next year if you do something similar, it'll be a package deal.
Yeah, my presentation at L. Yeah.
So two things I want to ask you about. Number one, the presentations you were, so Chuck's presentation this morning was about presentation sins and things, ways to make your presentations better, mostly by avoiding these horrible things that you can do.
Sometimes the purpose of your presentation is to serve as a warning to others.
Possibly. So did you harvested those from presentations that you've witnessed and seen and been a part of?
Yes.
Wow.
As I said when I started, you know, it got to be a game.
Yeah.
Just, okay, what's the worst presentation of the year that you see?
Yeah.
So I started taking photos and making just notes because some of the presentations are just so bad that you're not listening to presentations. So you got to do something to entertain yourself.
Yeah, keep yourself engaged.
And, you know, I just, these were among the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't believe that somebody didn't look at these and say, "Is there's what happened?" You know?
And they got distracted by their own messaging and they forgot to look at the way they were constructing that.
At the font, at the bullets, that the picture overlapped the text, that the picture was,
At the graph that had millions of dollars, but then somehow left out the zeros.
Yeah.
But also millions of dollars and zero cents.
Yeah. Which made zero sense.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part, was there is no sense. There are no sense in any of these slides.
Well, the part that I loved is the audience was even picking up on things that I had missed.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at some point you look at these things and you get zoomed in on the 1, 2, 3, or 4 really terrible things, and there's some other subtle things that are just as bad that jumped out to them.
Yeah.
Which just
there's a typo. That was
There was a missing slash in a headline or in a top line because it was a compound adjective, which I was like, all right, if compound adjective is what you're pulling out of this slide as the problem, you know, great. But we should talk about that. But it was amazing. I think it provided a lot of value. And you're going to revisit the topic this afternoon in your deep dive.
Right.
So how is that going to go?
Well, I've got some examples of some common some common presentation elements.
Yeah.
And ways to do them better than, for example, bullets.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my lines in the presentation this afternoon is, you've heard of death by PowerPoint. Well, it's because of the bullets.
Bullets
will kill you.
Everybody seems to think that, yeah.
True and true.
See?
Everybody seems to think that you have to bullet everything, and you don't.
Yeah.
There are more creative ways and ways to keep people's attention on the particular item in a bulleted list that you are presenting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's stop using bullets and get just a little creative. It doesn't take that much longer.
It's interesting because just on Friday I had to present to an audience of colleagues, and I was trying to get them to understand like the universe of people they could reach out to for help. And so I used the characters from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and the Land of Make-Believe. And I started the presentation with a big sort of full slide picture of Mr. Rogers and jokingly said to my virtual room of attendees, "So does everyone know who this is?" And there was a moment of silence. I heard one person say, "I don't know who that is." And I thought, okay, part of doing a good presentation is remembering that you have generational gaps or the audience may not have all the context that you're bringing.
Right.
So you have to be prepared to provide that, whether physically on screen or through something you're saying. But I felt so old at that moment.
I in a world where you don't know?
Yeah. But so we're looking forward to that deep dive. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, so you've been the person responsible for producing the Road to Max Doc this year, the interviews. Mike Potter used your interview with him as his intro for this morning. What was your favorite part about doing, you know, reaching out to all the presenters and doing that?
You know, just the same with every other Mac Voices show, you know, talking to the people.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to meet some brand new people that I've never met before that I knew by reputation but had never interacted with. Then there are the old favorites, you know, that have come back multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out what they're going to present and trying to make sure that folks have an idea what it all means beyond just that brief description and it's by the nature of a conference.
Yeah,
you
it's a slug.
And so, you know, you get just a little more. I don't want to give the presentation on the show,
mm-hmm.
but just talk about what you're going to be talking about. And I've had a couple people say that, you know, that has convinced them either to come or to attend a particular, or pay extra attention to a particular session.
Did you have any of the presenters say, you know, talking it over with you, Chuck, helped me clarify for myself what it was I wanted to do or what I wanted to present?
No, I mean, they all seem to have a pretty good idea. Mm. Allison and I have a fun little rivalry going of some. but Allison was the one last night. She said, well, I changed it. I'm not going to talk about it exactly the way that I planned to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, of course, I was able to talk her into changing her presentation completely, which delighted me a lot.
You're like the puck of Mac Stock. You're coming in and throwing some fairy dust and messing things up.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that last year when I spoke last year, this year I'm an attendee, which is very weird because I was telling somebody earlier, I can't remember the last time that I wasn't at a conference where I wasn't speaking or just attending and hanging out. And when I spoke last year and I did Road to Mac Stock with you last year, that for me, that helped me solidify the things in my talk because you were coming at it as a person who knows a lot about Text Expander, but knows a lot about the audience. I spoke about Text Expander last year and knows a lot about like the people that come and you know, kind of what they want to talk about. And so talking through it with you and like kind of the things I wanted to discuss helped me figure out like these are the things I need to make sure that I hit when I do the overview, so that when we deep dive and I go step by step through some of these things, they're things that are familiar because people heard me talk about them this morning. So for me, it did help, even though I wasn't on the show going like, I have no idea what I'm going to say, and now I have a talk. Like, that wasn't what happened. But being able to
refine
to quantify some of that in a way that made it something that I could put on stage and have be sensible. And like I said last year, I personally felt like I won Mac Stock because at the end of my deep dive, Brett Terpstra was like, that was great. And I was like, I win! So,
no higher praise.
Basically, yeah, because it was Text Expander. And who's in my Text Expander talk but Gene McDonald and Brett Terpstra? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not intimidated by this at all.
That's like giving a lecture on transubstantiation with the Pope in the audience. Like,
exactly.
Okay, it doesn't matter what I say because you say something different and that's the truth, you know?
Exactly. So it was like, I did feel kind of intimidating, like standing up there and going, this is who came to hear me shoot my mouth off about Text Expander. Okay, we're doing this, you know?
That's
and then
awesome.
Went for it. And yeah, and Brett was like, that was great. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It was very exciting.
One thing about the Road to Mac Stock, just in general, there's so many amazing people in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And they come here to share their wisdom and their knowledge. And I find it a delight to talk to them. Because, first of all, I learned something from pretty much every interview I do.
Wow.
But just the idea that, okay, I get a chance to let people hear these people. And in the case of the video, you know, they get to see them too.
Yeah.
So they know they are real people that... and you know, more than one person has said, you know, I started following person A or person B, you know, on Facebook or Twitter or wherever.
Or listening to them,
Because I heard them.
Because I found them on the show.
And they sound like a nice person or they sound like an interesting person.
Yeah.
And that's really high praise for me.
In the vernacular of my people, the Menschlichkeit quotient of Mac Stock, the menschiness of the people that are participating here who choose to spend their time and their energy, you know, putting something together is extraordinarily high. Just everybody... almost mm-hmm. without exception, is delightful and a pleasure to talk to, and really does want to engage with the broader community. I mean, it's very, I don't want to say it's different than other conferences, but it's different sometimes than other environments where it's a huge event and there's 500 people in a room. And even if that presenter or that speaker would love to be able to have that moment of genuine connection with everybody who's waiting to talk to them, mm-hmm. there aren't enough minutes in the room or hours in the day necessarily to make that happen.
Right.
But here it feels very free and easy to go up to that person in the lunch line or coffee or immediately after their presentation and say, hey, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious. I wanted to talk to you some more about it. So.
Yeah. And there are opportunities like, you know, we were talking about earlier, like there's breaks between almost every session and like lunch is kind of a free for all. Like you just sort of get in line and then there's like tables everywhere. So you go sit, you know, with whoever, and like dinner time is always kind of catch as catch can, and there's like activity in the evening tonight. So like you get a lot of opportunities to sort of mix and match with all the people that are here. And like Chuck, I had a question for you. I know you talked about really enjoying doing interviews, and I know that you are working on a new set of interviews, and I wanted to see if you wanted to plug that.
I would love to plug that. I decided to start a new podcast called Trek Favorites, which is a Star Trek podcast. You'd be surprised, and I've said this in the very first show, how many times before, during, and after Mac Voices that Star Trek references or Star Trek discussions break out.
I would actually not be surprised about that.
Yeah. And being a longtime Star Trek fan, and that's, you know, that's kind of my science fiction, I've often said, you know, we have to talk about this. And I never had the vehicle to do it. Mm. So now the format of the show is that I have one guest. I ask them to pick one episode, a favorite, not their favorite, the favorite, but a favorite from any of the Star Trek series and explain why. You know, what is it that resonates with you? And my classic example is it just because you like William Shatner in Pinstripes and a Tommy gun? Or, you know, did it describe the meaning of life for you? Anything is fine. But why did it mean something to you?
I will happily pitch having my wife on that show because she has a very specific favorite episode of Star Trek, and she'll be glad to talk about it.
I would love to have you and your wife both.
We could do it together. That'd be fun. We've never done a podcast together.
Yeah, and I know Kelly has recorded one that has yet to be released.
Oh, but you can't tell us what your favorite is until the episode comes out.
Nope, I'm not doing it.
Oh, wow.
It's killing me, but I'm sitting on it. I'm not going to say anything to anybody.
But I will say this. Ken Ray and John Champion as the first two guests.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you're going to do a Trek podcast, but come out swinging.
But they both picked episodes that surprised me because they weren't the obvious episodes. And after they explained why they meant something, Ken's in particular. I mean, Ken came at that episode from a completely different angle than anything I'd ever considered. Made me relook at the episode from a different angle. Mm. So, you know, there is no right or wrong here. It's just what. And I find that what really, really interesting.
Well, it's going to be interesting later on where if you start asking people to not pick a favorite that someone else has already chosen.
Well, I'm doing that.
Oh, you're doing that now.
You have to reserve your episode.
Ooh, fascinating. You know, so. Well, I can tell you my least favorite episode of Voyager. If you for the April Fool's Day episode, when you want to have people come in and tell you for 5 minutes,
this one is terrible. Eight, yeah,
I'm on it. I got that for you.
Okay,
that sounds fascinating. And I think the fun part about something like that too is because there are so many Trek podcasters who can like sort of join in around that. So you could get Benjamin Harrison, you can get Scott McNulty, you can sort of pull everybody in and say, all right, tell me your favorite episode. And it's a chance to sort of cross-pollinate and cross-promote as well.
Well, I'm saying it's tech friends and Trek friends.
Those are
the people I want to have. You know, you may not, the tech people may not know the Trek people and vice versa.
Yeah.
But whatever the reason is, this particular episode resonated with that person. That's what I want to know about.
Fantastic.
And I'm actually more interested, I think, to hear the tech people talk about it because they are people that maybe I know but haven't sat down and had like a Trek conversation with. And, you know, somebody like Scott McNulty, like I hear him talk about Star Trek often in varying degrees of, you know, whatever. And so, like, to me, those are the ones that are going to be, I think, more interesting is like hearing somebody, Mike, like you say, like, this is the piece of Trek I love because I think like you said, Chuck, you know, it's favorite, and like that answer is always a really interesting answer. Like when I ask people about, you know, favorite, like their favorite Star Wars movie or a favorite episode of Doctor Who, if you have one, you know, those kinds of things, like I'm always interested in the second half of the sentence.
Right.
You know, it's Blink because blah, or it's Vincent and the Doctor because, you know,
Is there a name for the podcast yet? Or
Trek Favorites.
Trek Favorites.
At trekfavorites.com.
Wow. With the domain name and all.
Yes.
So when should we expect to see that first episode?
They're out.
Oh, they're out
now?
They're
some out, yeah.
They're out. Facebook, Twitter, and the website.
Well, you heard it here not first, but you what you got to hear was me hearing it first for the first time. So trekfavorites.com. Chuck, thank you so much for taking some time as you wandered into the green room.
They sent me in for water bottles, so I have to explain why I delayed.
That's okay. But
thank you.
Just tell Mike, because we reeled him in too, so he'll know.
He'll understand what happened.
Oh, did Mike and Kelly get you too? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he'll know.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Chuck.
Good to
see you.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck.
So the second of our unexpected surprise interviews, Chuck Joyner of MacVoices.com. So I think, Kelly, we're coming up on the 45-minute mark.
Yeah, we're done.
We really need to get back to the stuff.
We've forsaken the game show in order to do this.
But two things I want to ask you. You have the rapid response episode of Uncanny Valley.
Yes.
For the season 3 trailer.
The reaction show for the season 3 trailer. Dawn and I did it in classic Kelly sets her phone for 20 minutes style.
Okay.
And that's hopefully going to be out today.
Great.
So you should be hearing it already by the time we record this. And the footnote to that is that I was walking by the lunch line earlier looking for you, Mike, because I had your backpack. And
It's okay.
So somebody, I was walking by and somebody said, "Hey, Kelly," and it was Steve Sheridan. So I was talking to Steve Sheridan for a second, and the person next to him looked and goes, "Oh, you're Kelly." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "How do you do, Buckaroo?" And I went, it was my favorite thing. And then somebody else was like, "What?" And he said, "Well, that's every morning on Daily Observations. She starts the show that way." And I had to tell him, like, here's why. Because I was doing the Westworld podcast at the time last year when when I took over for Jeff Gamet. And so I was still sort of in, like, I'm hitting record, like it was sort of Westworld mindset. And the Westworld show always started, "How do you do, Buckaroos?"
Yeah.
So I hit record and I'm like, "How do you do, Buckaroos?" And then, like, part of my brain went, wrong show, abort.
There's an alert.
And the other part of my brain went, "No, keep going. And so I was like, okay. And so I just kept doing it. And Jason Snell, when he sees me, will go, "I know how happy," we'll walk up and go, "How do you do, Buckaroo?" And then he's like, "I know how much you love that, so I do it for you." What? And so I got a second one today. I was super excited about it. And then so I said something about the Westworld, like, you know, I do this because of the Westworld show. And then somebody behind them in line went, "You have a show about Westworld?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, not only do I have a show about Westworld, I have a show about Westworld with the guy that wrote Safari,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a fun thing to get to sort of lay out there for, like, you know, the podcast bona fides.
With the father of WebKit, yeah.
Just some dude. The Westworld show is a lot like Max talk for me in that, like, making friends and meeting super awesome people is, like, also part of this, like, you know, getting to meet people that you don't necessarily get to hang out with the rest of the time and all of that, which is super duper great. Like, I met Don, you know, actually because he was complaining about Westworld podcasts on Twitter. And I was like, even I know that. And that movie is older than I am. And he's like, "Well, why am I not listening to your podcast?" I'm like, "I don't have one yet because I need a co-host." And he went, "Do you do all the editing?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to have to, aren't I?" And he's like, if I'm your co-host. And I'm like, "Would you?" Like, we were sort of daring each other. Yeah. It was like this podcast standoff.
It's an odd consent conversation.
Yeah, if you sign up for it, I'm just going to give you my Skype name, you know. Well, if you do, you're just going to have to edit the show. Well, if you do, you're just going to, you know. And so it, like, escalated, and we have a show now. And, you know, and, like, coming here and getting to meet people and sit down and have conversations that you normally wouldn't have,
mm-hmm.
you know, about whatever. Like, do you know where this particular food comes from? Or, you know, like, weird things about beer, or, you know, like, whatever. Like, there's all these opportunities to connect with people in person on a human level, which is one of the things that I always love about something like Backstock. Like, I, you know, we've talked about it forever. The hallway track is always the best thing.
Yep.
And, you know, and the opportunity to get to connect with people on a really human level, and not just what's on your home screen, or did you buy a case from those guys over there,
yep.
you know, like we used to do at Macworld and stuff, like what's the best thing you saw on the show floor,
yep.
like those are nice icebreakers, but, like, here there's a whole lot of, like, other opportunities you get to do this kind of thing, and that's what I love about getting yep. to do stuff like this.
And a lot of the reason, in addition to the hard work that Mike and his staff put into the event, one of the big reasons that there is that culture, that wonderful culture here, is Barry Falk.
Yep.
So we need to give a shout out to Barry. Barry is
Props to Barry, the
social ambassador of Macstock.
Of Illinois.
And yes, and responsible for pretty much all the extracurricular stuff that goes on here. So last night
we all got together and got to, like, yep. have dinner and hang out at a restaurant next to the hotel. There's another event going on tonight, and that's, like, 100% Barry, who's yep. basically like, "Mike, I'm gonna go do this."
Yep.
And then just basically tells Mike, like, this is when and where people need to show up so he can email it out, you know, and that's it.
Yeah. And it makes all the difference in the world. The recommendation I wanted to give,
Fleetwood Mac.
So there is a series of documentaries about it called Classic Albums, which you can get on Prime
Video. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really good.
Oh my God.
And it's great, sort of, it's the easy listening, it's the video equivalent of easy listening, but it's wonderful to see these artists talk about what they did, hear their stories. Sometimes you learn stuff you had no idea of. For example, the producer of Meatloaf and Jim Steinman's classic album, Bat Out of Hell.
Bat Out of Hell.
Do you know who produced Bat Out of Hell?
I want to say Lindsey Buckingham, and I don't think that's right.
No, but that's a reasonable guess. It's actually Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, I'm like, I know it's in there, yes.
And it was like they went to everybody and they got rejected by everybody and every producer and they played three songs for Todd Rundgren and he said, I got it. I see where you're going with this. I'm in.
Yeah.
And you don't – then you go back and you listen to the album again. And you're like, holy crap, that's a Todd Rundgren album.
That's really
like,
Todd
it's
Rundgren
Jim
album.
Simon and it's – and it's Meatloaf, but it's definitely Todd Rundgren.
Anyway. Yeah, you can feel it. So I'm going to give a related recommendation.
Yes.
Because and my recommendation is Live at Daryl's House, which is also a TV program.
Yes, yes it is.
And the reason I'm going to recommend it is because when you said Todd Rundgren, what that reminded me of was the time that so Live from Daryl's House is Daryl Hall of Daryl Hall and John Oates, mm-hmm. and he used to invite people to this to his house, like literally his house. There was like a cabin, like an outbuilding on his farm in upstate New York. And he would invite people in and they would sing a couple of that person's songs and a couple of his songs and they would just sort of like riff it together. And it was great. And he always had like really diverse and interesting people on. Like, who ever thought that Daryl Hall would sing a song with CeeLo Green or with Billy from ZZ Top or like Neon Trees? Like, he's got young, cool people on there. Like, the first time I ever heard L. King sing a song was on Live from Daryl's House.
Yeah.
And they picked everybody up and took everyone to Hawaii. To Todd Rundgren's house, and they sit like out in this like tropical paradise, and sing like some Hall & Oates songs, and you know I Don't Want to Work, and like some other stuff, and it like, and it's bonkers. But like the thing that I love about it is whoever the people are, and I know like you know they have to probably fake a little bit of this, but like as they're coming up the drive, right, the person's like, you know, I've been listening to Daryl Hall my whole life. I really love these songs. I got the opportunity to dig into stuff that I've loved listening to like forever and it's super great, you know? And then, so you not only get to hear like CeeLo singing a Hall & Oates song, but then you get to hear Daryl Hall singing a CeeLo song. Mm. And like some of those, like some of the stuff that they get together and like he had Darius Rucker on and he had, you know, L. King and like all these people and you know, the takes that they do and you get to see some of the in between. What if they're, you know, points at the drummer, like you go bum bum psh, bum, bum bum, and you know, and then what if you come in like on the minor, you know, and you get to watch them like assemble this thing in person, and it's spectacular. It was a web series for a long time, and now it's like a little bit more professionally produced, and it's not hard to come by.
It's on like one of the streaming.
If you have like reasonable cable channels, you have the channel that shows it. But also, I know it's available with some other stuff online, but it's a lot of fun to watch if you. Whatever music you appreciate, you will find something in what they do that is interesting to watch. Yeah, so that's my pick.
So those are great picks. Thank you, Kelly. The Live at Daryl's House and Classic Albums on Amazon Prime Video. You can find Kelly at Verso on Twitter and on micro.blog. You can find her on the Daily Observations podcast, The Mac Observer. You can find her on The Uncanny Valley, which is on the Incomparable Network.
Yes.
Covering Westworld, and the reaction episode coming shortly, or actually will be out by the time you hear this. You heard our guests. Thank you to Chuck Joyner. Thank you to Mike Potter. Thank you to everybody here at MacStock. You can find me at Mike T. Rose on Twitter and micro.blog. And you can find the show at aftershowpodcast.com and at @the_aftershow on Twitter. Thank you for joining us for our special crappy audio live episode, random interviews straight from MacStock 2019. We will see you very soon.